This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Of course, some people might have seen around the country different provinces having their state of the province address. Addresses which do follow the State of the Nation address by the President. So this evening we are going to be in conversation with three premiers, the Premier of Limpopo, the Premier of the Northwest, and the Premier of the Eastern Cape, just to gauge really what is it that they were unpacking in their SOPAs, and of course just areas of emphasis, particularly as the President spoke to us today about the need to be on a path of economic recovery, and of course just to make sure that we continue with the containment of the spread of COVID-19. We must remain vigilant because there is always this threat of a new variant in terms of mutation of COVID-19. And of course, there is the threat of the third wave, which can be so devastating if we are not careful. So being taken to level one, some people are saying it's premature. Some people welcome it because it means that there's greater economic activity, which means greater possibilities for revenue. We saw those economic data in terms of the budget speech delivered by Minister of Finance Tito Mboweni. Not a good story to tell at all. And of course, unemployment figures coming out as well in the last week, and those two might be cause for alarm. But I'm not here to do the talking. I'm going to talk to the people who actually help us navigate this space of governance. So on the line, I'm joined by Premier Stan Matabata, the Premier of Limpopo. Premier, good evening and welcome to Power Perspective.
Good evening, Luca, and good evening to your listeners also.
Thank you so much for joining us, Premier. We are interested here, based in Gauteng, to hear what is happening, you know, at home, you know, because we are busy here as migrant laborers, as you would appreciate that. So we thought, let's give you a ring, Premier.
In my language,
Wabona, Premier, you know our problems are many. Premier, you delivered your SOPA not too long ago, in fact. And, you know, talking to the people of Limpopo, can you just take us through, before we put some, you know, pertinent and direct questions, but just please talk us through, as you delivered SOPA 2021, what was going through your mind? What are the most important points of emphasis that you are touching on? And of course, just to say, where is the province of Limpopo as we speak today?
Yeah. No. The first and most important thing that we had to address was the pandemic itself. Because currently, if you look at whatever development that you can think of as a province, as a country, and globally, you know, the enemy number one, or perhaps something that poses a risk, is this pandemic. We need to get a way of containing the pandemic, and at the same time, make it a point that we recover from the damages, the blows that we had from this pandemic. That was the first thing that we addressed in that state of the province. How do we recover? What was the level of damage that this pandemic did cause to the province? And how do we recover from that? The measures that we are putting in place to recover from this, and lastly, this the rollout of the vaccine. That was the thrust of the speech, in fact.
Premier, when you look at your government, its makeup, composition, and the skill set that you have, I mean, and of course this question comes at the backdrop of what we saw in Mpumalanga. We have seen certain, you know, cabinet changes around provincial governments. Are you still happy with the leadership complement that you have in your provincial cabinet?
Very happy. If I wasn't, I would do the same also. But currently, I'm very happy. I'm I'm making assessment of the performance of my executive every year.
Mm.
Every year we sit down together and say, in terms of the agreement that we entered into, you and I and perhaps you and the society, the people of the Limpopo, do you think you have made an impact?
Yep.
Do you think the outcomes outmatches the output that we put, we invested into what you are doing? If so, convince me. And then if somebody cannot convince you, then it implies that he's not equal, he or she is not equal to the task.
Mm.
Therefore, you need to remove that person and get somebody who will give the people of Limpopo satisfaction, the kind of satisfaction that they need.
Premier, I mean, given the realities of COVID-19, tourism has been severely affected over the last year. And of course, your province attracts a great deal of, you know, tourism activity. How devastating has COVID-19 been? And beyond just looking to the avenues, for example, such as the National Tourism Relief Fund, which you did mention in your speech, how well are you positioning yourself in terms of budgeting as a province to help, alleviate the burden on the tourism sector, but also, given level one now, help to resuscitate that sector, which is so important to the economy of Limpopo?
Yes. Hey, tourism was one of the sectors. In fact, I'm just saying the sector because as a province, because it's one of our key competitive advantages.
Yes.
We have decided to put emphasis on it as if it is a sector. Though we all know that economically tourism is not a sector.
Mm.
It's not a sector, it's a service.
Mm.
You know, it falls under the services sector. So, but in as far as we are concerned, we are elevating it as if it's a sector on its own. Because as you would know, we've got a lot of tourism icons in this province.
Yes.
We are thriving on tourism in the main. We are currently, we poll number two in the country when it comes to the attraction of international tourists into the country.
Mm.
So which therefore says to you that this is a very key it's a very key factor when it comes to the economic development of this province. So that is why you are hearing me when I was presenting the SOPA, announcing the kind of monies that we'll be investing. But basically, what I was announcing, it was the money
yes.
that is going to assist that sector to recover. Because some of tourism entities had already closed down because of this the lockdown that we had. We had lockdown since March last year, you know. So that in itself affected the tourism entities very, very, very badly.
Okay, I'm in conversation with the Premier of the Limpopo province, that was Dan Matabata. You can, of course, join this conversation. I have him for a few minutes on 0861-987-000. Maybe you are just like me, you know, igoduka elithile here in Gauteng, and you want to make sure you understand what's happening back home. That is Dan. I mean, Mashudu here is asking, because as much as we talk about, you know, services sectors being important, Mashudu is asking, can you ask Premier Matabata, what is the process for any village in Limpopo to get assistance to build roads for our communities? I suppose, you know, these are very important questions, and of course they tie up to some of, you know, your investment in infrastructure and so on. But when I can see, you know, my road in this village, how do I get in touch? How do I say, please, 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 government, look at us. And of course, I mean, you might talk about some are municipal jurisdiction, some are provincial jurisdiction, but just please enlighten Mashudu and some of us on this.
No, Mashudu certainly should be having a ward councillor wherever he or she comes from. And that ward councillor must convene ward meetings with them. And he actually has to be accessible to Mashudu at any given time. So as a result, it will be difficult for Mashudu maybe to go to Polokwane, call Polokwane and get road agents Limpopo. But it will be very easy for him or to meet with the local council, and the local council has got a way of communicating with the provincial government.
Premier,
especially when it comes to activities such as, I mean, functions such as that one.
Premier, someone might say, oh, what councillor we elected, him or her, after a few salaries, they moved out of the ward. We don't even know where to locate them.
I don't know, but if that is the case, let us know. Okay. Let us know. We'll resolve that problem. In this province, we no longer have that kind of problem. But if it is there, because I can't authoritatively just say we no longer have that problem. But because I don't know, I'm not at every part of the province. But if it is there, we would want our people to tell us about that, because we want people not to do that. I mean, even myself, I'm not a councillor, I'm a premier, but I'm still staying in a village called Dose. I'm not staying in the city.
I thought you were going to say, Premier, you have relocated to Sentin because you can beat everybody with your blue lights. let me just pick up Lebo. Premier, we've got Lebo on the line. Lebo, good evening and welcome to Power Perspective.
How are you, Lukona, and your guest, Mr. Matabati?
I am fine.
I am very well. And good. Welcome to the Power Perspective. And it is good of you, Lukona, to have invited, you know, the premier of the province. I hail from the province, in particular at the village called Tafelkop. Today I'm 40 years old. I attended school in Mamorake to Buleu, you know, but today as I go back home, Mr. Premier, I'm glad to say there are little developments. First and foremost, let us talk about the basic things. Yeah. Like the water, and you know, and I know that the municipality in Elias Motsoaledi is trying its bit to do their service delivery, but it's sad to see that the only time when they deliver a service is when they think about RDP toilets, and they really don't think out of the box to engage, you know, the community. How can we best develop this village? You know, there's no infrastructure. There is absolutely nothing. And I will tell you that we normally visit this course as a on our programs to give back to the communities where we hail from. But it's sad to see the buildings are deteriorating. You can see that, you know, this building has never received any maintenance, you know, even the quality thereof. So we just want water and we just want good service. The tar road, it has been there since the time of memorial. I can't even remember when it was just, you know, given a facelift or whatever. But please look at those things. And the street lights, as you know, that, you know, some of these areas is growing and, you know, many people coming into the village. But there's a lot of crime. And one other element that I just want to bring to your attention is that, what are you doing about the people that are selling Mamburu? Because as you can see, that it's not doing the village any good.
Okay. Lebo, yes. I hope there the Premier has taken notes. Premier, please thank just you. Note some of these points. Thank sure. you, Lebo, there in Soshanguve joining us. Premier, just take, please, these notes. I have a few people who seem actually we did the right thing to bring you here on Power Perspective. Aubrey in Tembisa, good evening and welcome to Power Perspective.
Good
evening, Lebo.
Good evening. Yeah, the question because it was hopo as hopo on a area village baroque as hopo mulling pop. So in a little like on a school of the baroque holagan lane, only 23% of the learners passed by Nevadira metric. So the Obutica Premier or Anna Willow the Ranga Gadipolo Josanali holagan lane because. Regardable like Gatabar affected COVID-19.
Yeah.
And let's follow the Ilengorisi to Hono Gancha 79% passed which is Manuri High School. Maradigolo Jau Tanali, Kola Galilee, only 23% passed.
Yeah.
So, the Botata, their management, the Rubella Premier, I tell a school of the Avalele, the management was school, the principal. And then, problem where Renaba di Bamu as Hop, Arna Mazi, Tihalerel Lagamazi, Tawas Chiogawa, Aval Legamazi, Tawas Fisio Fella, Lerena Moras Hopo, Arna Mazi, Rubella Premier Atlas Hopo, Motinwas Hopo, Honale, too much drop out, Modiculon, Arna Mazi, Arna di Tirello.
Okay, thank you so much, Aubrey. Premier, let me just touch base with Bethwell in Pretoria. Good evening and welcome to Power Perspective.
Thank you very much. I just want to ask Premier two questions.
Yep.
A year into office, he closed down the artisan miners that were mining chrome across Kukuni, Chibing, Musoti, and all those areas. And I want to ask him, what is he doing to empower the youth, given the high unemployment that the country is experiencing, the opportunities that he's creating? Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you very much there, Bethwell. Premier, last question, or you want to touch on that one quickly?
We are driving, I can't take note of it.
Okay. Let me not overload you then, Premier. Okay, that's fine.
So... The last one cannot be correct. Mining is not my competence; it's a national competence.
The one on the artisan, miners on chrome. Yeah. But do you know anything about that story? I think the question should be directed to
Minister Manta.
Okay, but then the second part of that question, Premier, on unemployment.
The second part of that question is something that I addressed in my speech when I was talking about the economic recovery plan, saying that when it comes to mining, because mining is, we've got three key advantageous competitive areas as a province, mining, agriculture, and tourism. So we said we need to... turn some of these schools that have closed down, the old colleges and the like, you know, and the schools that we are merging, the schools that are not producing simply because they've got very few learners, and as a result, the arrangement is just unworkable. So we want to turn those schools into sector-specific schools, either tourism school or mining schools or something like that. I spoke about that at length in that speech. And we also spoke about job master plan, the youth master plan.
Yeah.
You know, young people, about 11,000. We spoke about a lot of the young people who are actually getting and being placed by the provincial government. Except that, you know, we said we need to, currently we are at 12%. You know, procurement of goods and services for government can be one other tool that you can use to alleviate youth unemployment. Mm. For the province. So we want to use that tool. Currently, we are at 12%. We want to go. We targeted 20% this year or more. We said at least 20% when it comes to procurement of goods. Contracts on procurement of goods and services must go to the young people.
Yes,
that in itself will create economic activity for the youth. It will create jobs for the young people. But as for Refilo, I don't know Refilo, because, you know, when she says she's from Tafelkop, I know that place very well. My mother was a principal at Mamrake, where she went to school.
Mm.
But the tar road there, it's not that old as she said. It can be about 10 years old if I'm not mistaken. So
perhaps it might be the condition, Premier.
No. Look, it's not long that I was in that area. I'm from Mutatem, you know. Mutatem is 5 minutes drive to Tafelkop.
Mm.
But when it comes to water, I totally agree with her. That is why I said in the speech in Sopa that I need. Remember, provincial governments are not water authorities. The water competency is in the hands of the local sphere and the national sphere. So I said in that speech that I need to a meeting with the minister, because we've got serious problems. When you meet a community that is protesting on service delivery,
yeah,
in almost every village, is because of water. I'm going to meet with the minister as a matter of urgency, and I specified the things that I'm going to discuss with the minister in that speech in Sopa.
Yes.
Because I don't want to have a meeting with the minister. I said the minister and the executive mayors. I don't want us to go into that meeting and not come out with tangible solutions, with quantifiable results.
Premier, while you are on that issue, can I just ask, I mean, how much work is being done to strengthen intergovernmental relations? I mean, this is codified in a piece of legislation. It is called upon by the Constitution. Somebody might say, you know, Premier, you can't say you are floating between national and, you know, local government insofar as this question is concerned, when you've got an MEC for Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs in your cabinet, at least servicing those issues. So how do we make sure that we strengthen these intergovernmental relations in the best service of citizens?
That is why the president came up with this issue of the district development model, you know, where as the local government, the provincial government, and national government, we're sitting together this nowadays and try. Hence, I'm saying I'm convening this meeting.
Yeah,
it's basically based on that Intergovernmental Framework Act and the initiative that the president came up with. During the course of last year.
Okay, Premier.
But as you would know, you can have that coordinating capacity, but the budget resides somewhere, and there's somebody somewhere who's supposed to release that budget. That is why I'm saying I need to meet with relevant stakeholders and ensure that we unlock that budget.
Okay.
Budget.
Okay. Premier Aubrey there asking about, you know, questions around schools that underperformed in this round of metric results. But just to say, what additional support are you giving, particularly to schools that, you know, 23% pass rate? I mean, that's a devastating statistic, because it simply means that in that particular community, or probably surrounding communities in that school, there is about 67% learners who are not going to be going forward with their future.
We made an assessment of all schools in the province. When the MEC present is going to give the people of the province that assessment. We made an assessment, and there are schools that we feel there's no ways in which we are going to turn those schools around. So we are going to close them. We are going to close them down. But it's just that we normally encounter the resistance from the community when you close some of these schools.
Absolutely.
You find that that school has got about 19 or 20 learners in matrics. In one school that I visited, it had only 14 learners throughout the whole school. It's a secondary school. It had 14 learners.
Yeah.
So how and two teachers. Now, how do you expect? And in matric, I think there were five. How do you expect those two teachers to teach all the matric subjects? But when you close it, people will tell you, no, this school was named after Makhoshi, this one was named after Khoshi, this one was named after this revolutionary, these sentiments, and they end up protesting against you.
And those are the pains of development, Premier, isn't it?
Let's take
Premier, because I know I only probably have 2-3 minutes with you left now. Uh-huh. Let me take Maluleka. Maluleka, good evening and welcome to Power Perspective.
Good evening, Lukona. How are you?
Very well. How are you doing?
I can't complain. I only have one or two things to say to Premier.
Yes.
Then Matabata. The thing is, he had said to, I think, the first, if not the second caller, that when as community members have problems, we need to approach our councillors. And I must say that our councillors are not as effective as they should be. Mm. Because believe me, we had and we have problems. I am from Hammanskraal, but I'm based in Lichtenburg in the Northwest, and I've been in Limpopo. So the three provinces I've been in, I know, I've had a first-hand experience.
Mm.
It's scary. So yep. When Premier Stan Matabata says that when we have problems, we must approach our councillors. And as we speak, Okwamanje in Hammanskraal, there are certain allegations that I've heard and read about a councillor who is I'm not sure whether he's in tenders or whatever they call it, yet he's got trucks that are delivering water around Samwin Kanana or Kekana Gardens. Yet this particular individual, what I'm saying is that our councillors are not as reliable as they should be,
okay,
and not as
candid. Manulega, what is the second issue that you wanted to address to Premier?
To the Premier, please, when you have your meetings with the councillors, please make sure that our councillors are sober-minded and they respect the community as they should, and they take us serious as the community, because we can't take them seriously if they don't take us as serious as they should.
Yeah, thank you, Maluleka. Yep. Premier, this is an important issue. Of course, we are headed
to
local government elections. It's not just citizens raising this. I mean, if you go to reports of SALGA, I'm sure you are aware. I mean, they look at all levels of competencies and problems that are there. And I think it is challenging us to think as a country, how do we induct councillors into the business of councils? You know the AG reports that you get, Premier. I don't need to regurgitate those two.
No. I totally agree with you. We need to up our game when it comes to the issue of local government. I totally agree with you,
Premier. Before I let you go,
but when I said people should not misconstrue that statement. When I said they must meet with the councillor and so on, I was simply saying that they must get to government at the face of government. Like for example, you'll have provincial offices which are at local level. They can go to those offices. I was not restricting it to the councillor.
No, absolutely, Premier. Premier, I've just got here. I'll read you two quick tweets that you can respond to, then I'll let you go, Premier. Kota saying, good evening. May you please ask the Premier as to when are they fixing a lot of potholes on the R521. R521 Dendron Road gape ke mathata ka tsela eo. And then of course I've got Rasimpi saying I am from Bochum or Bochum in Blouberg municipality. The tar road there is damaged and we are now leaving that to drive on gravel road. Please ask the premier if he knows about that road. I mean, premier, this issue of roads, and of course not helped at all by, you know, these unabated rains and, you know, stormy weathers.
Yeah, this rain, we're waiting for it in any event, but it caused a lot of destruction, more especially on infrastructure such as water and the like. So, I mean, such as roads and the like. Sorry for that.
Yes, Premier.
So, I know that road. I was not aware that it is that damaged now. I haven't been that side for quite some time.
Mm.
But I'll talk to the MEC. I know that the MEC is actually listening for public work roads and infrastructure.
Okay.
And that the Masemo is listening to us now.
That's good, because sometimes, Premier, I ask myself, where do the public servants and leaders drive? I mean, because it's like nina nifamba moyeni, and sometimes you miss these roads.
No, you know, we've got a program of dealing with potholes in this. You know, I sometimes go to certain people's places and compare them.
Mm.
Compare them with Limpopo when it comes to potholes.
Premier, please take those issues raised by some of our callers. We will keeping an eye on you, and please do avail yourself some time again when we call upon you, just to, you know, update us on the state of your province.
No, I'll do that.
Thank you so much, and safe travels.
Thank you for your listeners. Your callers. I'll tell Rila I'll go to Tafelkop tomorrow.
Okay, Tafelkop. The Premier says he's visiting tomorrow. Please do dial in and tell me on Power Perspective on the Monday edition if he makes it to Tafelkop. We will be sending a drone to keep an eye on him. It is 24 minutes to 10 on this Sunday edition here on Power Perspective. Of course, we will shortly turn our attention to the Northwest. You might have questions for the Premier there, Prof. Job Mukhoro. Our line is 0861-987-000. We will focus on Northwest just shortly.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.